The following podcast is part of the Never Nervous Network, a podcast network showcasing the best and brightest new shows coming out of Louisville, Kentucky. Catch up on all the local haps with the Never Nervous podcast. Get your horror movie fix with the House by the Video Store. Discuss hot button topics with the Parade of Horribles podcast. Hear an actual conversation on actual conversations, and then get wild with me, Sean Thriller Smith, on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. The Never Nervous Podcast Network is available on iTunes, so like, subscribe, rate, and review. Keep up to date on everything going on in Louisville, Kentucky with the Never Nervous Network. What's up, everybody? It's your host, Sean Thriller Smith, and welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast, a show focusing on conversations with my almost famous friends over some delicious cold beverages. On my show today, speaking of almost famous, something tells me these guys are about to explode into the stratosphere. I've got Simon Thompson from the United Kingdom's Alvarez Kings. I first met Simon when our bands were the New Kids on Vans Warped Tour 2013. Alvarez Kings went on to play the tour again in 2015. They've also toured the world with Melanie Martinez on her Crybaby tour. You guys know Melanie Martinez from The Voice. And on Friday, they are set to release their first full-length album on Warner Brothers / Sire Records. So how is that for a first album release on a major record label, maybe the most major record label? So like I said, they won't be almost famous for long. Simon's going to be on the show today to discuss the new album, discuss our time on Warped Tour together. There's a huge incident that was actually documented on the television show Warped Roadies about Alvarez Kings when Simon and the guys were stopped at the border between Canada and the United States, and Simon was contained there for about a week or so. Did not plan for that to happen, so he's going to be discussing that incident there. He also talks about what the future holds for Alvarez Kings once the album is released. To my German fan base there, hello und willkommen. Man, that wasn't very good. Hallo und willkommen. Well, anyway, just hey guys, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you check out the Alvarez Kings next week as they kick off their tour with a string of dates in Germany, followed by Austria, and of course they're going to be back in the UK playing some shows. You're definitely not going to want to miss those. Simon also brought along with him their first single off the new album, a song called Sleepwalking Part 2. So make sure you stay tuned in for that. If you like what you hear, please pick up their album. Like I said, it comes out Friday. You don't even have to wait. I already pre-ordered mine. You could do that from Amazon and iTunes. So yeah, guys, very proud of this podcast today. It's my first ever podcast taking place on two separate continents, actually. I had to harness the power of technology to make this happen, guys. And I think it turned out super well. Please let me know what you guys think of the show on Twitter at Sean vs. Wild. My Twitter game has been strong to quite strong, just like my internet passwords or my, portfolio. I don't know. Strong to quite strong. You can also send me an email at seanversuswild@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. And of course, this show wouldn't sound nearly as good without the help of my good friend Joe Brock at Supernatch Studios. He's been on a steady diet of energy drinks and Reese's peanut butter eggs just so he has the strength to stay up night and day, booping these dials, turning these knobs, rolling all the 20-sided dice, all in an effort to make sure that I sound legit. Too legit. Too legit to quit. Also want to give a big shout-out to the Never Nervous Network for showcasing the podcast. Big shout-out also to the show's sponsors at Audiophile, Inc. Guys, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you're located within the United States and you have merchandise that you want to have printed, you will not find a better place than AudiophileInc.com to get that merchandise handled for you. They've been in business. I know I've been going to them 15 years or so. They have all the brands that you want to print on. They have the best prices. They ship to all 50 states. What more can you want? If you want shirts, if you want tank tops, sweatshirts, hats, underpants, drink koozies, tote bags, whatever you want with your name on it, with your face on it, whatever you want printed on it, they've got you covered. Just go to audiophileinc.com and place your order now. That's audiophileinc.com, AudiophileInc.com. You tell them Sean versus Wild told you what was up. Sean knows what's up. So make sure you go there. And as always, if you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, rate, and review. Those 5-star ratings and reviews on iTunes go a long way. That is what the sponsors are looking for, guys. So if you could, just drop me a line, click those 5 golden stars, and help make my dream of podcasting into a full-time reality. I definitely appreciate you guys. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, Facebook, all your favorite podcast sources. And again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been awesome. Like I said, April is already off to a fantastic start, and I can't wait to just see how far we can take this thing. So thank you guys so much. All right, that's going to be enough for me. So we got the business handled. Please sit back, relax, put your tape decks on record, and let's get wild. Yeah, so this is like the earliest interview that I've ever done because it's 9 a.m. here.
Oh, dear.
To make up for the time change.
I hope you've had some coffee at least.
No, I was like, I gotta get up. I gotta get out of bed. But I couldn't, on a Sunday morning, I couldn't bring myself to get up. So I've only been up for about 20 minutes.
All right, that's fair.
So I haven't had my coffee yet. But you've been out and about. What time is it there? You said it's like, what, 2 o'clock?
Yeah, it's like 2 p.m. The clocks have just gone forward an hour today, and I've been at a christening this morning. So it was. Plus, I went out yesterday, and I was out all day drinking, so I felt pretty rough this morning.
I may or may not have had some beverages myself last night, but I was like, I can't. I was in bed by like, I was like, I got to get in bed by like midnight because I know I have to get up early and do this interview, and I can't. Yeah, I can't let Simon down. So yeah.
Good effort.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. With me today, all the way from the United Kingdom, and here I am in rainy Indiana, the power of technology, I'm with Simon Thompson from Alvarez Kings, a good friend of mine for the past few years. How are you, Simon?
I'm good, man, thank you. I'm pretty good. It's nice and sunny in the UK, so Everything's good.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're like, it's actually a nice day out, and unfortunately for me, it's for some reason rainy out after being nice all week.
Yeah, well, we don't get too many nice sunny days because even usually when it is sunny, it's cold. But today it's actually sunny and warm, so I'm just out embracing the heat and the. Getting a bit of vitamin D, and I'm feeling good.
Awesome. Awesome, brother. Yeah, I just changed my... I've basically renovated a room in my home to now be my studio for the show. I was like, hey, man, it's time to take this a little bit more seriously. But I haven't soundproofed it yet. So I have a big I have a big window, and all I can see is the rain. And earlier today... Yeah. There were like 2 birds right outside of this window. And I was like, if these birds show up in the podcast, I'm going to have to rethink my choices as far as where I've made a new studio, where I made a new office area.
Sounds like really bad therapy. Like, you know, in a room, in a studio, and you're looking at a window and it's just raining.
Yeah, this is going to be the most relaxed, chill studio, guys. Come to the podcast, fall asleep. The listeners are going to love that.
You just need the sound effects of the trickling water.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe I'll put a massage table in here. You know what? Forget the podcast, guys. I'm going to start a relaxation spa.
Therapy with Sean. I like it.
Exactly. And there's nothing more relaxing than that. Just having a greased up fat guy stare at you while you hear the rain coming through the window. Why I have to be greased up, I don't know. I just feel like that would only be... That would just make it more, I don't know, therapeutic. But anyway, Simon, I had you on here because I've known you for a few years now, and Alvarez Kings and the Uh-Huh Baby Yes, the Uh-Huh Babies, got really close. We spent a summer together in 2013, and that was a wild and crazy summer. Talking Warped Tour 13.
That's like nearly 4 years ago. Wow.
I know. I can't believe it. Time just flew by,
didn't
it?
That's insane. That was a hell of a 2 months. A good summer. a summer I'll never forget.
Well, and, for you especially, I feel like if anybody followed along, like on Warped Roadies, you especially got into, had more fun than others, I would say, on that tour, and not in a good way, getting held up in a foreign country.
Yeah, I was hoping to like get a profile on IMDb or something like that, where I'm like featured in Warped Roadies that much. I felt like a bit of kind of an A-list actor.
For those of you listening that may have no idea what we're talking about, so Simon and I met on Warped Tour 2013. I remember the day. I remember the day that Alvarez Kings and Uh-Huh Baby Yeah became friends. It was like the second or third day of the tour, somewhere in, I don't know, California. But I remember our merch tent just happened to be set up right next to each other. And
yeah.
We were having, one of us was having trouble selling, and the other wasn't. So we just kind of shared knowledge, and then we just kind of hung out every day since then. And yeah. We spent our first, like, you know, our first days together, and we got to spend our last day together. I remember we got a beautiful room at the Sheraton for the last day. You guys flew home, and we drove home, and that was like in Texas somewhere.
Yeah, that was in Houston, I believe.
Yes, it was, and that was a wild night.
You guys gave us a lift from the last show, the last festival site, right to the hotel next to the airport.
Yeah, and Wack gave me a bunch of drum stuff, which I thought was nice. He's like, "Man, I can't take this on the airplane. Do you want all this drum stuff?" I was like, "Well, yes, sir. I would love that. Thank you."
Why the hell not?
Well, I have a vehicle. I'll be driving home. I have room for it. I might as well, sir.
Very good.
But to get back, now that we've prefaced the story, going into, like, on Warped Tour, you have to go from the United States into Canada for a few days, maybe two dates, and then from Canada back into the United States. Why don't you tell the listeners what happened whenever you went into Canada and decided to leave Canada?
I remember it very well. Once upon a time, we rode a bus through the Canadian border, which you know, a lot of people might not know this, but sort of Canada and the United Kingdom have sort of this shared queen. so they welcomed us with open arms, and we were like, oh yeah, great. And I remember some of the American people on the bus, also our weekend it was, and they sort of got questioned and stuff like that, and we were like, well, this is cool. And then I remember it being really rainy as well, that show. It was like, it was total washout. But anyway, on our return coming back through the US border, they wasn't quite so welcoming to the English, and they took a particular dislike to myself. I don't know if it's because I had a mustache at the time.
But who didn't have a mustache after being on tour for a month out in the wilderness?
Exactly. You'd think that they'd be used to that thing. But they were looking at my passport picture. They were looking at me. Obviously, I had a mustache. My passport didn't. And they had some issues with some of my paperwork. And they just decided upon themselves. I think it's because we were like one of the last buses. And I think on Warped Tour, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, I think there's like 100 tour buses that pass through the border.
Oh, easily.
It's like the biggest border crossing in the world in terms of production at any one like given time. And I think they were just, we were the last bus through. It was really like early in the morning. And they were just like so sick and tired of this by now. So they just took a dislike to me and they said, nope, you're staying.
We got to fulfill our quota. And gosh darn it, we let everybody else through, but we got to detain at least one person. And this guy with a fake mustache seems to be a prime candidate.
This Tom Tucker imposter is staying behind. Sorry, guys.
Simon, that sounds a little too religious to me, sir. You're under suspicion. Go ahead and just stay in Canada for 2 weeks while we investigate.
Yes, exactly. So they had a problem with my visa, my work. I had a work visa to be able to perform in the United States. And I had to, so luckily from previous tours I'd made friends in Canada. I stayed at some friends' like apartment while they were away on tour, actually at the Ottawa Blues Festival. And then because I was there a bit longer than I first imagined, I actually ended up getting a bus right up to Ottawa and spending time there, and hung out at the Ottawa Blues Festival and met B.B. King. God rest his soul.
Well, hey, it wasn't a total wash.
No, exactly. And I got to see Weezer and Bjork perform live, so that was pretty cool.
And you got a break from being outside every day in the sun, the beating heat.
Everyone was so jealous that I'd like had a holiday whilst on tour.
You know, on our last tour, our van broke down in the middle of nowhere in like Wyoming, and basically everybody had to, like, half of us had to stay with the van. By half, I mean Kevin and I had to stay behind with the van, and everyone else was going to, we were going to meet them a couple days later and pick up the rest of the tour, so we didn't have to cancel the dates and what have you. And we're basically stuck in nowhere, Wyoming, but we got like a cheap Motel 6, and everybody was super jealous. They're like, well, you got to just lounge around and relax. I was like, we're in the middle of nowhere with a van that may or may not get fixed. So I would say that we didn't really relax that much.
No.
And I feel like you're in the same situation. So how long did you end up staying in Canada?
I was there for like 2 weeks, I believe, and In the process of that, I spent like a hell of a lot of money just trying to keep busy, just trying to keep like my sanity, just keep focused on what I was originally sort of on tour for. To be so far away from home and then to have that sort of like bombshell of me being like detained in a foreign land, like it was so scary. Initially, I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to send my passport back home, which then left me in a foreign country without any sort of traveler's identification or nothing. So I had to post it back. I remember I posted it to my dad. My dad then like posted it to the US Embassy in London. They then sent it back to my dad, and then he sent it back to me. I mean, that alone cost like hundreds, and then I had to like get cabs to and from like the UPS place. I think one of the fares were like 80 bucks, so it was such an expensive ordeal. And when we were on such a tight budget to begin with, like, as you know, Sean, like being on tour, the sort of budget that you stick to, it's like it's just selling merchandise can make or break your entire sort of expenses and budget on a whole tour. So it was really scary.
And imagine, I can only imagine, one, going to a foreign country would be nerve-wracking enough, you know, but then to go to an additional foreign country and this time be stuck there without a plan, unbeknownst to you, you know, you didn't plan for this.
No.
And then you just have to just pay money back and forth. I don't mean to laugh, but that was definitely a wild time I can imagine for you.
It was absolute insanity. And while I was away, I mean, I think we missed one show of the entire walk tour. Because whilst I was away, obviously friends from Echo Smith, it was William Beckett and also All Star Weekend all jumped in and helped on vocals. And because we just couldn't afford to not do any shows, because if you don't do a show, you don't get paid.
Right, exactly.
And for every day that you miss on tour and you don't get paid, it has a sort of like a domino effect of your whole budget and your whole... It at times can be such a scary situation to be in, money.
Right, exactly.
It's just, money makes the world go around, obviously.
I was just about to say that. We're on the same wavelength there.
Yeah. because being in a band, especially these days, as musicians, you know yourself, money is not your best friend.
Right. You just have so much of it going out. And then especially when you do something like Warped Tour, where the drives are hours. And especially you guys were on a bus on top of that. Yeah. So you had to pay your bus fees and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. We fell behind. We fell behind with bus fees because of the situation. And they like the band were having to transfer me money so that I could survive. Because obviously on the Warped Tour, you're getting three square meals a day. When you're not on the Warped Tour, and you've got a day off, you're having to find your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, your drinks. It becomes an expensive day off. And then put that into two weeks of, you know, finding your own food. It was a very, very expensive.
In Canada, no less, which is way more expensive than the United States.
Exactly, yeah, so expensive. So expensive.
And they documented it. The best part, dear listener, is that this whole thing was documented on a season of Warped Roadies.
Yes.
So if you guys want to see it, you can actually see it as it unfolds. I'm sure that there you guys can look it up on YouTube. But yeah, mm-hmm. So did you what was the response whenever Warped Roadies aired? Did you get to see it?
Yeah, we got to see it in the UK. But I think we became kind of famous for being like idiots. it was well documented, and I think it helped us. It had like a what do you call it now? Like a false negative or opposite? I can't remember what the saying it is, but
well, there's no such thing as bad press.
Out of the sort of awfulness of the situation, we were getting documented on this Warped Road is that got like shown across America, and people were aware of our situation, and obviously at the time it was getting aired was like a long way away from when it was actually happening at the moment. So when it was airing, people were we got floods of like press and like social media as well. People, you know,
people like, hey, do you need to borrow some money? You're stuck in Canada.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you guys need some money, we'll send you some money. We're like, well, we probably could do with some money, but I think we're good, right?
We're actually back in the United Kingdom now, so
yeah, we're home safe and sound. But yeah, it was a great show to be a part of, and just the whole crew, the actual Warped Roadies themselves, and the film crew were so supportive, and the, you know, they actually raised money to pay for my flight. Eventually, when I got all my documents sorted, they actually put money together to pay for my flight to come back from Canada into America and rejoin the you know, the band and everyone else, the Warped Tour family. So that was quite like, for me, quite an emotional roller coaster, and to come back to that and to know that everyone was like really putting together.
Everybody was rooting for you, man. To give you like a little bit of and you might have seen it on the show, but just from someone that was on, you know, at those dates without you, everybody was like rooting for you, and everybody was pulling for the band, and you guys became like the little you guys became like the unsung heroes of the tour that year. Like, I mean, your music is fantastic, but the fact that like, you know, that all this other stuff happened, like it just drew all this attention, and everybody was like, "This is the band." Like, I feel like you guys.
It was so overwhelming. It was so overwhelming because it was a very emotional time to be involved with, and then knowing that everyone had our backs, and you know, we were beginning of the tour. We were just a nobody band from the UK that happened upon Warped Tour. We got invited to go over, and we managed to sort of try and put a good budget together to be able to survive. Wasn't the best budget, it turned out, but you know, we got there. Nobody knew us, so it was. And then towards the end of it, to sort of make such good friends from it, like you guys and all the other people. It was just like, you know, it's things like that you'll never forget.
Right. I think that's how we became friends, is just because we were both the nobodies on the block, and we just had to band together.
Yeah, you've got to stick together like that. Band of Brothers.
Exactly. Band of Brothers. And we always talked over the summer that we needed to have a United States, United Kingdom drinking Olympics. And
yes,
the team that won, the losing team would have to fly the winning team's flag every day on Warped Tour. We never got around to doing it, but we need to, next time we are in the same country at the same time, that Olympics needs to take place, sir.
Definitely. Well, I believe unofficially we may happen to be in the States around the summer, so I think we'll definitely have to make that happen.
Oh, absolutely. I cannot wait. And I want to just segue in, because you said you think you'll be in the States here. You have a brand new album. You guys have a brand new album coming out on April 14th, which the show will air on April 11th. So it'll be here in just the next few days, guys. You can pick that up. It's out. It's called Somewhere Between. And it blew my mind when I saw that this is out on Warner Brothers and Sire Records.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are big. Crazy. You guys are big business now, sir.
Yeah, we seem to have stumbled upon the Warner Brother group, and it just crazy, really, to think that when we were on Warped Tour 2013, we didn't have a record deal, or we just had a manager who her name's Eva, and she just really had big belief in us. She still has. She's been pushing us ever since, and then we did Warped Tour again in 2015, and that's when we got signed to Sire Records. Eric McKellen saw the good in us. Nobody else did, and then that led to us getting signed up to Warner Brothers last year. So it's been a hell of a ride, and we've been touring since 2013. 2014 was a bit of a dark year because we took such a hit in the 2013 sort of leg of our career, as we spoke about earlier. The 2013 was a very, very dark year, to which we nearly sort of went our separate ways. But luckily, we stuck together, and we've had these songs for quite a while now, and we've everyone's been waiting for this album to come out since 2013, so we're really, really excited to finally just get it out to the world, and just like as a bit of a thank you to everyone that's stuck by us and actually waited for this to happen. So yeah, it's pretty exciting.
I'm excited for you too. I love you guys. I've loved you guys since I met you in 2013, the fact that you got an official, honest to God, full length album. It's coming out, because I know I don't know if it's like a British thing, but like, I mean, I've been keeping up on your singles, but this is the first time that you guys have released a full length album, correct?
Yeah, because with the timing, it just never warranted us releasing an album. We felt that if we release an album, it would just go by the wayside. It'd come out, and then that'll be it. It'd be done. It'd be like, right, start writing album two.
Right.
We were always so confident in the songs that we had that we felt if we gave too much, that you'll know yourself, like writing songs, it's not a turn up one day, boom, you've got a song.
Right.
It's a long, especially for those guys, it's a long, lengthy process.
And yeah.
We wanted to hold on to those songs for as long as we possibly could to warrant releasing an album, and also an album under a record label, mm-hmm. and somebody that's going to really, really like push and promote it. So luckily we stuck to our guns, the album's coming out, and we're excited to see what it does. It may do nothing. It may do something. It may do great things. But I think the one thing that we can take away from it, which is the thing that I always wanted to take away, is that we're really happy and we're really proud of an album that we've made and that we're going to release. So we can always take that away from it.
Right.
Regardless of what happens.
You guys have already accomplished, you guys are well, it's not the last goal, but you guys accomplished a huge goal. I mean, you have your full length album out. It's on Warner Brothers and Sire. I mean, Sire Records had, I mean, when I think of Psy Records, The Cure, The Smiths, I mean, Talking Heads.
Ramones, Madonna, you know.
Yeah, and you're part of that. You're part of that family. So that's insane to me. I love your music, and it always I have like an affinity for British music, and I'll probably name off some bands, and you're probably like, eh, oh yeah, whatever. But like, I grew up just a huge fan of Oasis, a huge fan of like Radiohead.
Yeah. Got real into
Coldplay. Got really into Keane. Was Keane ever a thing over there?
Yeah, Keane was huge. Keane was huge at one time. There's actually the singer now. I forgot his name. Well, the singer
Tom Chaplin.
He's got like his solo music out at the minute. He's really pushing that.
But you guys are a nice little something that I can add to that collection of British artists that I like.
That's amazing to be put up against those artists.
But you guys very much have your own sound as well. Like, I feel like maybe you had like, I mean, who isn't, I feel like, have like an Oasis influence or a Beatles influence, but you guys are doing something that is completely different at the same token. So you don't sound like necessarily, you guys have your own sound that you have going on, which I love.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was ever intentional. And I think like the labels have struggled somewhat with sort of like trying to figure out where we belong. But it was just because we've got so many different influences. Like Rich, the drummer, he's like very metal. He's like into Metallica. He's into like Slipknot. He's into Avenged Sevenfold. He'll also listen to like, I don't know, 1975 maybe. Like Bruno Mars as well. Mm-hmm. He's got quite an eclectic taste of music. Similar to me, I was asked to do this thing for Desert Island Discs, the BBC thing, and they said pick your five albums that you'd want to take to obviously Desert Island with and keep forever. And like I had on there Bob Dylan, Highway 61 Revisited. I had Nirvana, MTV Live Unplugged. I had Interpol, Turn on the Bright Lights. Strokes, Is This It? And if you just look down my phone, like I've got Bring Me the Horizon albums. I love Bring Me the Horizon. It's just, and that's the thing. And you know, we're really into like our electronic side of things, production, and like your Jack Garrett's, and your there's a great artist that won an award recently, Flume. They're really, really amazing. And yeah, so we've just, because we've all got such a mix of tastes and interests, I think we just sort of all put our own twist on things, and that's what became our sound. And whether that's a good thing or not, we're yet to learn, but hopefully at least like you said yourself, that we're quite unique in the way we sound, which is always good to hear that you can come up with your own sound, but sometimes it's not always the best thing.
But you guys have made it coalesce together to where it really is. It's a very unique, beautiful sound. Like you guys have a very, I don't know, to me, it's, if anybody is a fan listening, I mean, I'm going to play the song on the show, but if you got to get my two cents in before we play the song, I would say, it, fans of, you know, 1975, fans of Two Door Cinema Club, you know, you guys would easily have like a good, you know, Coldplay, you guys could easily fit into the record collection of those people that enjoy music. So, and I feel the same way about being eclectic. For one, I just wanted to touch on the fact that Rich and I had many a day on Warped Tour sitting out in the sun, drinking beer, talking about Motley Crue together.
that's Rich.
Yep. So, but that's the way I feel too. Like, and I just go through ebbs and flows with the music. Like, I'm a huge fan of like Black Sabbath. I'm a huge fan of Queen.
Cool.
And then also too, whenever they asked me to make a list of like the best releases of like 2016 or something like that, it was like Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber were like on my list. So I try to stay pretty eclectic. I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan too. There you go. That's a little different than Black Sabbath. So
Definitely. And when you're a musician as well, like, so it's so important when you're creating your own music as well to have that that field of knowledge,
sure,
from different genres of music. And it just opens your horizon to be able to,
yeah,
to write your own music. And
well, if you're an artist, you gotta study up your craft. I'm sure, like, if you're a filmmaker, you're watching movies from all years and all, yeah, genres.
Definitely. Like, I'll listen to an album just for the production content. I might not necessarily like the music, but I'll just listen to the production techniques and, like, imagine how it was recorded and listen to all the different, you know, I might listen to the drums and listen to the kick sound or the snare and think about what kind of snare it might be, what size it is. And like, especially for me being a vocalist and a guitarist, I'll be like, oh, that's definitely a Fender Stratocaster going through a Fender basement amp.
And right.
It being a musician, you do sort of analyze music more critically, but I think when you're creating your own music, it does become a tool and a weapon to actually write good music and yeah.
And I tell you what, listeners, we've teased you enough with what we think Alvarez Kings sound like. I'm going to show you 100% what Alvarez Kings sound like. We're going to play the song Sleepwalking Part 2 off the brand new album Somewhere Between. This isn't out yet, guys. So this is 3 days before it launches. Of course, the music video is out. We'll talk about that on the other side of this song. But all right, guys, this is going to be Alvarez Kings with Sleepwalking Part 2.
You are the star and then must fall apart.
All right, everybody. That was Alvarez Kings with Sleepwalking Part 2. Simon, voice of an angel there, good sir.
Thank you very much.
And you guys just released a new video for this song. You can check it out on YouTube. But I wanted to talk to you about it because I was also watching some of the behind the scenes of the video. And I thought that your idea for a story, the story behind the video, was just absolutely fantastic. Something that I can relate to 100%. I think any musician can kind of relate to 100%. What is the theme? What's the backstory for the music video?
Basically, I wrote the song quite a while back, and it was sort of how I was feeling in between touring, and I guess also on tour. You know, one minute you're on tour, you're on stage, you're living the dream, and every night it's awesome. And then eventually you have to go home, and sometimes it's not a great deal at home.
Right.
Compared to, you know, you've got your family, you've got your friends, you've got your girlfriends and stuff like that, which is awesome, which is why I love going back home. But being a musician, you belong on tour and you belong on the stage, and when you know you want to do that with your life, that's where you fit into society. So when you do come back home, it's really hard to fit back in.
Yeah.
I like to call it normal life.
Right.
I guess. And it's just about that, really. Like, you know, the opening lines, I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to call home. And sometimes you wake up on tour and you forget where you are.
Right.
And sometimes you wake up at home and you forget that you are home. And it just became this sort of half state feeling, this like vivid dream, and as this title goes, like almost sleepwalking just through your life, through your days. And I felt that the director really captured that with the story. He put the whole story together and the whole plot, and we picked it from out of about 7 different ideas from other directors, and it was just the one that really, really we connected to, with regards to the song.
It was something that any musician can relate to, because once I saw the video and then I saw the behind the scenes with the video discussing that, I was like, man, I've felt that way. And recently, with our band, with Uh-huh Baby Yeah, deciding to go our separate ways, I spent like months in that kind of state where it's like, you know, you're on top of the world whenever you're playing these shows and you're in front of these people.
Yeah.
And it gives you this sense of importance. It gives you this sense of identity. And then now that we went our separate ways, I had to come to terms with, you know, what is my identity? Where do I go from here? If I'm not playing drums, you know, is anybody even going to care? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, definitely. So it's such an emotional sort of roller coaster being a musician, and like you said, like you might rehearse for a month solid, and then you might just do one show in a month, and everything is pointed towards that one show. But then when you're doing that one show, you just forget everything, and you just think, this was all worth it.
Right.
All the blood, the sweat, the tears, it's all worth it. But then, obviously, with the highs comes the lows. So once the show's over with, you know, you
where do you go from here? You got to start all over.
Yeah. It's you got to ask yourself why you do it.
Exactly. And that's, I had to come to terms with that. And honestly, I did this podcast. It was something that I had been like messing around with, but once we decided to kind of go our separate ways, I was like, you know, I need to do something for myself. It's very, very therapeutic for me to do this and talk to the contacts that I met, not let that go to waste, not let everybody that I met, the things that I've done just be for, you know, for nothing. So
yeah, man, so cool.
Now I have the show, and I get to bring all my friends on it to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think I've mastered this whole talking to people in another country at the same time thing.
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
You're having your breakfast and I'm having my dinner.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so Sleepwalking Part 2 is going to be a part of Somewhere Between. Again, that's coming out April 14th. You said that these songs were just collect. Is this a collection of songs over the past year? Like, what's some of the, some of the themes of the album?
It's funny because I always jokingly say it's Alvis King's greatest hits.
That's a great way to come out, though. You know, but all your best, yeah. All killer, no filler.
Well, this is it, and because we've been a band for quite a while now, we have got quite a collection of songs. But we knew which songs stood out. We always knew which ones would go on. So I just say, yeah, it's our greatest hits. Even though it's our first album, it is our greatest hits. It's the songs over the years that we've always. I always think the songs that you choose to play live,
right,
are always your best songs.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't play your weakest songs, especially if you're playing to people that have never seen you again. You're playing, I like to call them the big hitters,
right?
And so that's how we sort of drew our plan for the album. We were like, well, let's just treat it like we would treat it a set list. Let's just be like, right, what songs would you want to go on the album? So we were like, right, you know, we've got to have this song, we've got to have that song. And that's how it became, and then put it in order so that it would work to a listener's perspective,
right?
Which is quite difficult these days because of, you know, your Spotify's and what have you, where everyone's just, you know, downloading singles and listening, right, to one song. So, but we still like to go the old-fashioned route where you would listen to an album from start to finish, and that's how we. That's how we worked it. We worked it that way. And that's how we always wanted to do an album.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because in my off time, now that I'm not playing music, I used to be that sort of consumer that you're mentioning, where I would just listen to the singles or I would just listen to a greatest hits compilation, but really just listen to the songs that I like and skip over the other stuff. And over the past few months, I've been obsessed with listening to albums, but only listening to studio albums and listening to them,
yeah,
from start to finish. And
definitely.
It's a totally different and completely more rewarding experience if you do it
absolutely
that way.
Absolutely, I totally agree, yeah.
So, you know, instead of just, you know, it's almost like if you were to just read one good chapter of a book, you might be like, hey, that's a great chapter. But when you read the entire book and see where it fits in, then you really, yeah, get the idea. And so I've been doing that. I've been going back and listening, and I actually started buying and investing in music again because I had CDs, you know, I bought CDs like, I don't know, a decade ago. And everything else, you know, you just kind of download a song here or there. And now I'm just like, I'm going to invest in, you know, an LP. I'll invest in putting it in, you know, getting it on vinyl or getting it on record. And it might cost me a little bit more, but, you know, it's kind of me giving back to the music that I neglected over the years, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. And then do I've noticed that you've got a lot of touring coming up. I know in Europe, and you said you guys might be coming, yep, to the US.
Yeah, we've got our like European and UK shows announced. So we're going to Germany and Austria. We've got quite a solid fan base in Germany after supporting Melanie Martinez around Europe, and then our plans are to come to America. In the summer, we've already got a few festivals booked that we've not yet announced. And then there's a lot of other things that are in the pipeline that I can't really mention.
Right.
So it's looking really dead set on us coming during the summer.
So I'll be dead set on us hanging out this summer for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like once the album comes out, Warner Brothers have so many outrageous plans for us that we're probably going to be sleepwalking the whole way through.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned Melanie Martinez, because you guys were here last year in the States for Melanie Martinez, and damn it, I was on tour, and I missed you guys. But you got to hang out with the local fair here in Louisville.
Yes, we did. Yeah, it was quite the night.
How did you enjoy Spinelli's pizza?
Correct. Oh, it was awesome. It was so good. It was like heaven. I've never eaten so much pizza on that tour. I think every night the Melanie crew would order in pizza every night. And they would always, on their sort of budget, they would always get us like an extra box of pizza just for us. So we ate pizza every night. I've never gained so much weight on tour. It was ridiculous.
Welcome to America. We love pizza and we love gaining weight.
Yes. Sounds like my kind of country.
What was it like opening up for Melanie Martinez?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It was like we were playing amazing venues, like most of them theaters, like 3,000 plus cap, all sold out. Screaming fans, just they were just really high on life and on listening to music and you know, knowing that we were from the UK and we were like a I don't know, I guess an old boy band. We seemed to really go down well, and it was just an awesome tour. We made some great friends and also fans as well. We made so many good fans that we're excited to come back and play for.
You just said one of my favorite British phrases with go down well.
Go down well?
Yeah. We don't really say that here, but I have heard you guys say it before. I've heard a lot of my British friends say it. And of course, I just hear it on TV, watching BBC or what have you. But I love that phrase, going down well. That means you did a good job. People like you. Nice. So, but yeah, and so you guys did get to spend a night in Louisville with Kevin's wife was there and her friends. And and I can't believe I missed it. I was really bummed out about that. I did call Paul. I did call your brother that day.
Yes, you did.
Just to say hello and also to point you guys into the direction of where to go in Louisville.
Yep. So I don't know how. I don't know what direction. I can't remember what directions we went, but I remember we had a good night.
the girls still talk about that, and they're just like, "Oh, I love Simon. Oh, I love Alvarez Kings. I can't wait to I can't wait to hear the podcast. I can't wait to listen." So you're definitely going to have quite a bit of listeners here on the show. Excited to see you guys, or just excited to hear you.
We're excited to come back to Louisville anyway.
Yeah, and this time I'll be here. And this time we can have the drinking Olympics.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
And also, too, I want to get into, on this show, I like to get into some of your personal fun things that you like that might not be directly related to music, but do you have any fun tour stories? Do you have any fun tour stories ever?
Fun tour stories.
I guess that's directly related to music, but it's still fun.
Well, on the 2013 Warped Tour, do you remember Rich broke his foot?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I did remember that he broke his foot.
Yeah, he was so we were parked up in Burbank, and our tour bus was parked like at some sort of shopping complex type situation, and there were palm trees. And I don't know if you know, Sean, but in the UK, we don't have very many palm trees.
You don't have very much sun.
So we don't have any palm trees. So Cameron from All Star Weekend and Richard from Alvarez Kings decided to have a competition. And these palm trees were huge. They were like as big as buildings. Like, I want to say they were like four times as high as a tour bus, maybe even bigger. So they decided to race up, like climbing up the tree, then race back down. So they raced all the way up. Bearing in mind, Richard had no shirt on. So they raced
classic Richard.
And then they got to the top and they started racing down, and Rich lost his sort of footing or his grip and then slid all the way down, bare chest, wrapped around the palm tree, and then he hit the bottom so hard he broke his foot.
I would hate. I forgot about that, about the whole not wearing a shirt thing. I mean, I know Rich never wore a shirt on that tour, it seemed like. But yeah. I forgot about that. Man, that would be brutal. I'm just thinking about palm tree to bare chest, and that doesn't sound appealing at all.
Palm tree, shirtless, and gravity is a bad mix.
Leave it to Whack to do that.
Yeah.
How are all the guys? Sean, Whack, your brother, Paul.
Yeah, they're all good. We were together last weekend. We did like a bit of a hometown show, and that was really good. We had fun.
I talked to Paul semi-regularly. You know, we converse, you know, maybe once a week or so. We have for the past few months because we're huge wrestling fans.
He's told me about that, and I remember you having many a conversation.
Yes. Honestly, Warped Tour 2013 sparked my interest in watching wrestling again, because I had kind of sworn off of it for about a decade. And then when I met so many other people that liked it, I was like, oh, well, hey, maybe I should check this thing out. I take it by your tone that you're not a wrestling fan.
I used to be when I was younger, but not so much anymore.
What are you?
I don't have any. I mean, Paul loves it, which is good. You kind of find Paul like snuck away in a corner, just like with his laptop and headphones on, watching. You can always count on the fact that he's watching wrestling.
I love Paul. I cannot wait to hang out with Paul and just literally talk wrestling and drink in a corner with our headphones on.
Sounds like a good date.
What are your interests, just like outside of like, are you a movie fan? Are you like a book reader? What are some of your other interests and passions?
I'm sort of like, I'm really into keeping fit. I do a lot of running, go to the gym. I used to play a semi-professional, we call it football over here, but I believe in your you know, fair country where you
us rednecks call it soccer, yes.
Yeah. So, I used to be a semi-pro footballer before I realized that I wanted to be a musician. So I still try and I meet up at least once a week with friends to play football, and I kind of hung my football boots up, just before 2013 was such a crazy year, just like literally a month or two before Warped Tour 2013, I had a really bad lateral ligament sprain from playing football. I was playing at county senior level. And then since then, I sort of like decided it's not a good thing to be doing if I'm wanting to like just go on tour when as often as I can. So I'm a lot more relaxed with that sport now.
Yeah, I remember a lot of soccer on Warped Tour for some reason. Yeah, I remember a lot of soccer going on there, and that explains your rugged, handsome male model looks, Simon. You stay fit.
Well, I like to try and keep fit as much as I can, but as soon as you get on tour, everything just goes out of the window.
I agree. And honestly, for me, it's almost the opposite. As soon as I get home, it goes out the window. I'm like, well, I'm not going to play every night. I'm not going to sweat behind a drum set for an hour every night. I guess I'll just sit around all day.
Yeah.
turn on the Netflix. So, but
why
you,
not?
You know, after this, you've inspired me. I think I've got all day ahead of me, Simon. It's only 10 a.m. here. It's 9:57 a.m.
You know, they say the world's your oyster, or the day's your oyster. Just go for it, grab it, do whatever you feel like doing.
Oysters, delicious. You've convinced me. Let's go out to eat. But yeah, and then where can people find like your stuff online? Where can people find out more about the Kings?
So our website, alvarezkings.com. We've got like a couple of singles available on iTunes right now, Sleepwalking Part 2, which you've just heard, And we've also got Cold Conscience. And then it's all available on Spotify too. And then the album will be on the same sort of music platforms as that. So yeah, just it's everything's online.
Everything is on this thing called the internet, everybody. I think the show's going to be on the internet too.
Yeah, exactly. It's all online.
Fantastic. And yeah, so I want to ask you here, do you have a story? Do you have anything that you want to leave your listeners here in the United States with before we head home with this podcast?
Sure thing. I just want to basically thank America. I'm going to thank the whole goddamn country and just say thank you for giving us our first real break. 2013 came to Warped Tour. We were nobodies, but America really latched onto us and welcomed us with open arms. And then we are like record labels American, our manager's American. So we really, we really feel so thankful to be part of, I don't know, there's just this weird relationship that we have as a band with America, even more so than our own country as well. So we're really excited to come back this summer and continue to come back and hang out with guys like you, like friends we've made over the years, and just enjoy life, I guess, and play music. So we're looking forward to seeing each and every one of you, and make sure you buy the record and listen to it and share it, and we can come back and play you the record live.
That was beautiful, man. I'm glad that you shared that with us, because I don't
no
know.
Problem.
You guys are so great. I can't wait to see you back here. And I want to recreate the night. We'll just go and get a really expensive room at the Sheraton, and, yeah. And we will reenact that night. I have some pictures of it. I remember we bought a room that was way more expensive than any other room that I've ever stayed in. Like, it was like a $300 or $400 room, and you guys, us, an All Star Weekend, and then we just went downstairs, drank at this bar, and there was a car there. Remember the car that was outside?
It was like straddled a Cadillac or something.
Right. I mean, it's not hard to wrap your head around the fact that there was a car outside in the parking lot, but this was part of the bar, so. There was some sort of special thing, and then we got a nice family photo, all of us there.
Yeah, we did.
On a Cadillac.
We did.
So maybe I'm going to post that on the podcast. I'm going to put that in the show notes somewhere. That's a nice memory.
Cool, so, man.
Well, Simon, I tell you what, it was great catching up with you. Please tell...
You too, Sean.
Tell your brother Paul that I love him, and I can't wait to discuss WrestleMania with him.
I'll tell him.
And tell Sean and Rich that I miss them. I cannot wait to just drink a lot of beers and just catch up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. That's been the Sean versus Wild podcast here with Simon. Check out Alvarez Kings. Check out my show. You know, it's on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast stuff. And Simon, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show,
brother. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me. Great talking to you, buddy.
All right. Cheers, brother.